coming up on
Jesse Eldridge Podcast.
Basically, women, and I'm speaking as a Black woman, have been nurture economies for men. You go out to make money, go to war, all the things. And all the things you need to support that economy is nurtured, is taken care of. And now we're entering into this space. And I mean everything from sex, food, just being prepared for work. Like, you just have what you need. Mm. And now my question is, to what extent have we shifted our mindset to think about the nurture economy for Black women?
Mm, that's a good stream of thought.
I'm going to open up the call lines for all of my exes to call in right now.
I am a nurturer.
Okay, in what way?
Ready? Oh, wow. Born ready. It's Wednesday. Time for your favorite podcast, your favorite podcast. Women's History Month. Let's go. These niggas talking out of their neck. Don't hey. Put no coffin out hey. Of your mouth. Hey. Too paranoid hey. For threats. Hey. Just get it, bro. DOT, the money, power, respect. The woo. Last one is better. Say yes, a lot of goofies with a check. I mean, man, I'm beefing. Let's go. Get it up. It's time for him to prove that he's a problem. Hey. He's clicking up, but cannot be legit. No 40 water. Tell him. Yeah, get it. If you're on YouTube, I apologize. You know the vibes. Rap this Melly Mel if I had two. Got two keys with me. I'm snatching chains and burning tattoos. It's up. Lost too many soldiers not to play it safe. Woo. If you walk around woo. With a stick, woo. It ain't under. This what happened when you go to therapy. You start getting it off your chest everywhere. Let's me, go. Nigga. I'm really like that. And your best work is a light pack. We're going to do a job like this. What's up, family? You tuning to the Just Ever the Podcast. Hottest podcast to ever hit the airwaves. I'm super excited. We're about to record the greatest episode I have ever recorded. I say it every time, and I mean it every single time. We here. Women's History Month. All month long, we said the sisters are taking over. I know people like, you know, shout out to Lloyd. Let me just say, shout out to Lloyd. You know Lloyd, the dude that be on TikTok. You know he moved to Atlanta.
I did not know he moved to Atlanta.
Oh, me and him had two meetings.
Oh, shit, okay.
Some shit cooking.
All right, Lloyd.
So Lloyd hit me up. He like, bro, why are you not dropping? You are literally my weekly routine.
Oh, wow.
And I love that, man. Because, you know, sometimes internet be having you fucked up because you ain't got 100,000 listeners. But we got some real people that actually lock in and listen to our show. Yep. I just want to let y'all know, I have not been dropping because we have, like, we're doing some beautiful stuff behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Deep stuff.
Like, some deep content, some rearranging of the team. Like, it's a lot. Like, we're not stopping to slow down. We're stopping to take off. So let me just be clear on all of that. So for the people that are wondering, this ain't a funk. This ain't a...
Oh, nah. I say, look, if y'all been paying attention, it ain't no funk because content been coming out, not the episodes might not be coming out. But what we also been trying to focus on is digging through the crates a little bit more. Yeah. So you'll start seeing some of your favorite moments pop back up. Like, damn, I forgot we said that.
I'm just letting y'all know, man, we're in a beautiful space here.
Yeah.
I'm proud. I'm really proud of where we are. I'm excited of where we are. And
episode 270.
This episode 270? Yeah.
Well, I did an audit.
Oh, for real?
It's episode 268.
Damn.
We kind of...
That's something a big happened deal.
We skipped some episodes, like in episode one something. You remember when somebody lost footage? So when I went back and actually touched each and every episode... It's 268 episodes.
I feel
well,
like that.
This is
269. I feel like that Bernie Mac movie with Mr. 300.
Oh, yeah.
300 when he thought he had 300 home runs.
No.
And he was like, he was short like two. Mm. So the whole movie is this old ass man trying to come back to the league. Trying to get his last two home runs. So that's what I feel like. Damn.
That's 268. That's exactly what that is.
But I just want to put that out there. No, you know,
that's really good.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
Because the subscribers been going up, so.
Subscribers been going up. And, man, like, we in the process of shooting this documentary right now. First documentary. I will say it's such a heavy story. I am a little nervous now that I'm in a post. I'm nervous and excited. I'm excited for the mess up. Because you know me, once I do something one time, like I'm good.
Yeah.
So went down there, shot. Shout
where
out to
down there?
North Carolina, all over. Kenita.
Jacksonville.
The back road.
Yeah, like country. Yeah. I'm from the country, but this is not connected to a metropolitan country.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm connected to a major highway. Like, this is just country.
This is like, get off the highway and go.
We are down.
Yeah, this is, don't try that in this small town.
Right.
But, man, the consciousness is real. These black folk ain't laying down.
Yeah.
These black folk fighting. These black folk are resilient. Yeah. They understand what time it is.
Yeah.
Like, they preparing. Like, I was just honored to be there. Shout out to the team that went down there. Took my boy D. D was down there shooting. JB.
Hey, shout out to
JB, the sensei. We're going to call JB. Hey, he always teaching. Taught Keith how to edit.
Yeah. Y'all seen the videos on YouTube. It's all JB.
Yeah. If you want to learn, I'm going to put his at on here. JB Flick. Put his at.
Man, I'll put the at right there. Like, he showed me to do.
Put it right here. KJ.
Hey, shout out to KJ.
Yeah, shout out KJ.
What they call him? The wolf hermit? What they call him?
Hey, look, KJ ain't do shit. But I wanted him to see it because he's going to be a lot of heavy in the post production.
Yeah,
I wanted to see it.
We had
KJ shooting, we gave him the DJI. We were like, bro, just shoot the vlog. Just shoot the vlog. KJ out there trying to shoot a documentary. I'm like, that was an inside joke. We're like, nigga, are you shooting your own documentary? Like, can you just shoot us?
But that was smart to have him there because, like, it's nothing worse than trying to be in post-edit and be like, damn, what was the vibe?
Yeah.
You know, be trying like, to...
He definitely got to see y'all, though. KJ, and then the MVP ball game receiver is my boy, Quaylen.
Oh.
The black man.
Quaylen.
I called Quaylen. We were leaving at 5 o'clock. I called Quaylen at 4 and said, can you come with me to North Carolina, because I really need somebody to drive.
Mm.
And he was like, bruh, if you can just let me go to Black Man Lab, that would be our role. So we waited.
I love the commitment.
Yeah, so we waited to leave. We waited to leave to like...
What's going on?
That was so considerate, though.
That was shit,
man.
It's a podcast, man.
That was so considerate.
Yeah, it ain't a movie.
Nobody will tell everybody, this is the difference between the podcast and the show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It could be,
it's real life.
Yeah,
it's real life. We ain't flexing. We having real conversations. So,
but yeah, shout out to Quaylen.
But yeah, Quaylen drove, bro. He drove the whole trip, bro. I'm talking about, he drove that trip like a man, bro. Like a real, like.
Didn't he drive on the voting trip?
Yeah, but he didn't drive for us, but he was driving.
I'm saying he was driving for them, though. So he got it in. Yeah,
man, ain't nothing better than a creative. If you want somebody to drive for you, especially if you got to drive through the night, get you a creative night owl music lover. And that's what Quaylen is.
So the tones are.
And playlist on point. I'm in the back.
Knocked out.
I love that. I don't like driving at all.
Man, I don't even.
Such a,
But yeah. Let's get to it. I just had to put that out to all the listeners.
And we had March Madness going on. Shout out to all the children.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We back on
it. Keep all his kids' birthday. All the birthdays over?
All the birthdays over. Okay. All the birthdays
every
over.
Year, March is
crazy.
Because it's everyone's birthday.
Yes. Yeah, like 14-year-old.
What month you got to fuck in to have a baby in March?
Around like May, June, like you know, it's like
that time.
You know, like after all the classes been passed and shit, it's like okay, what's up? We all at
the first exam?
Yeah, we all at. We all at.
Oh shit, my boy ready. So March Madness over. We good. Listeners, we apologize. We love y'all. We here.
Shout out to Grambling March Madness.
Let's get to business. The podcast starts now. Yeah. It is Women's History Month, and here on the Just Elders podcast, we are black men who love black women. not only do we love black women in thought, we love them in action. Man. With that being said, we understand that we are two brothers with a great platform where people listen, people engage, and people follow. That being said, for the month of March, we give our platform to those who deserve it most, our black sisters. Today, the podcast will be taken over by this beautiful, this intelligent, this smart, this brilliant, this chocolate, this lovely, this heaven sent, my perfectly kissed by the sun. Her name is what I do every time I see her.
Come on now.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Rejoice.
That was so beautiful. Yes. Did you think about that just now?
No, babe, that's from the top. From the top.
Look, the dress came through here. I ain't did this in a while, boy.
That was nice.
Baby, I got Papa.
That was really nice, actually. Thank you so much.
Dress, no,
you're welcome, man.
It's your show. We here to lock in with you, mm-hmm. talk about what you want to talk about.
Okay, great. Well, I'll introduce myself first.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm Rejoice. I really hate introducing just what I do each day, like company wise, but I'll just start off by like saying things that matter to me. I really, really deeply care about black men. Mm-hmm. I really deeply care about the nurture economy for black women. And I really deeply care about our health and how we commune as first principles. So that's who I am. So a lot of the things that we'll talk about will be rooted in those things. Hopefully we'll add some tech in there and futuristic things. So, but what I do all day, thanks. I run a tech company called Valor. We're building the largest talent marketplace for entry-level people. Right. So, and what that means is basically before you go to LinkedIn or Indeed, most of us need great internships, great entry-level jobs, and we have been doing that for 5 years. And thanks so much. That's why I do all day. I help people find interns and I help interns get their first opportunities. And it's very, very important for the future of work and what we'll talk about in AI and what that means. So
it's just interns?
Entry level.
Okay.
So
it can be a paid opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Most internships are paid. Now that's something we could talk about too. Most internships now.
I thought we pimping the interns.
I mean, when we came up in college, they were unpaid internships. Yep. It was part of the deal.
And we'll talk about that because now we have luxury beliefs and we think everyone should be getting paid, even if their productivity level. You guys talked about that a while ago and I was just snapping my fingers because that's not how economy works. But I digress. The future work is going to be great. And so, we help with those first jobs, first internships. And first could mean hey, I'm a podcaster. I'm doing amazing. And now I want to get into enterprise tech. So it's you're considered an entry level position. So
that's what's up.
Yeah.
So how you want to jump into it?
I want to start. I had a stream of consciousness earlier while I was.
I like that thought, that phrase. Yeah. Add a stream of consciousness.
Yeah. I sometimes just come. Yeah. And so I was let me write some things down and then just talk to you about it. Cause I feel like you have some interesting thoughts specifically. I don't know how you're going to react to any of these.
And you said that too. You said, oh, I'm ready to come on there because I got some questions.
I have questions.
But you said it in a way you were about your thought process. I was
It was in text, so, okay. That's also open for interpretation.
Okay.
Okay. Making babies for society's existence.
How do I feel about that?
I'm with it.
Let's just unpack it because you guys have had multiple conversations about children and.
Yeah. I am with it.
Okay.
I'm even more with building units around them, but also I'm even with planning out those babies' lives more intentionally.
So starting off, you are going to give babies to our society for black babies. Yep. I didn't hear you.
Yeah, okay.
Black Aries.
That's a given.
Oh, yeah.
I can't assume.
No, you can assume. Okay, right here is black babies.
Okay. So that's a yes. You are going to give some babies for society assistance. And then, like when?
For me, 3 years.
In 3 years?
Yeah.
Like back to back to back. You don't know. You just know you're ready in 3 years.
3 years, I am prepared to do whatever I got to do to get what my kids. And my kids, I have two rules.
Okay.
Number one, got to have a boy. Number two, I don't believe in only kids.
You don't believe in what?
Only kids.
What does that mean?
Like
a kid
got to have siblings.
Oh, okay. So you need to have multiple.
Got it. Like,
I love that.
Yeah, I feel like only kids, but coming from a person that has six siblings.
Oh, wow.
I know the benefit to having multiple, very close-knit relationships.
Yes.
And because your parents don't see everything. Yes, most kids I think you can cut data. The ones that be killing didn't have no siblings because your parents didn't see it.
Yep. No, that's true. We can see that
sibling like, man, why you tweaking like that? Like you crazy.
That's real.
Or you call your sibling bluff. Like, nigga, you gonna get crazy? Well, stab me.
Like siblings.
Or somebody gonna snitch on you. Somebody gonna tell somebody snitching.
Oh, yeah, so they gonna keep you out of trouble.
Yeah. That for sure.
Like, so it's like siblings are so important. Close second place is cousins.
Oh, yeah. Well,
because
if you from the South, your cousins can be like your siblings.
She done been on podcast.
Yeah, my cousin Trail, he was the only child at first, but because of me and Carrie, Trail will always be with
him. And that's why Tiffany is my cousin's sister, because all of her siblings were grown. Mm. Like, all her siblings in their 40s. You know what I'm saying? They're 40, 50. So Tiffany didn't have nobody. So she always came to us. So she my sister cousin. So
I was telling my siblings that the other day. I was like, you know, I'm going to be sad when our parents die, but I'm really going to be sad if you die. Because, like, there's no other person that knows as much as you know about yourself than your siblings. Because they actually grew up in the house. They understand so much.
So you shared a room and everything.
Yeah.
So 3 years for me.
3 years for you. Okay. Yeah. That's good to know.
I've already timed it out. And Keith gonna have one with me for my first one.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Going in there for buddy support.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I got one more in me.
All right, ladies. You have 3 years to wait.
I mean, I'm just saying 3 years to wait, but like, you know, you gotta show me because I'm doing solid additions right now.
Oh, my gosh.
I gotta see if you got that mother material.
Oh, my goodness.
That part, too. Gotta see where your family come from.
Because I got a list. Yeah, I got a list for the person who I'm procreating.
Do you have? Can you like?
Oh, easily. Number one must be family oriented. You have to be able to tell our child about your family the way I can tell about my family.
Okay.
Like, my kids need to be able to go a competition. Who do I like more? My grandma, my mama's side, or my daddy's side? Because we're gauged in that level.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because if you don't like family, you're not going to understand the way I move with mine. Mm-hmm. You're going to think it's weird. You're going to resent it.
Yeah.
You're not going to like it.
Or they may be like, oh, I'm so happy I can see how family works.
Well, here's the thing.
That's somebody who like family. You got to be
family oriented because you can not have any family because of tragic accidents. Mm-hmm. You were adopted. But if you have a family and you're just choosing to talk, like, you can't talk to no one.
Yeah.
Like, there ain't
that's
one.
A red flag for you.
There's not one cousin that can identify with your family craziness. Like, there's nobody in your family. I'm scared of it. And you might have a completely, there's somebody out there probably have a whole family that's that fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it would be scared to take a risk.
Yeah.
And you will have to, even if you do, you have to be willing to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like I gotta hear why you're not there with your family. So number one,
I like that.
Family oriented. Number two, college degree. I prefer to, because I didn't go to college and I want my kids to have access to both sides. I want my kids to be able to have formal education example and non-formal education example.
Okay.
So for me, and I'm not a person that cares about college education because I don't got one.
Right, I'm not
planning on getting one.
Right.
But I care about exposure, access for my children. So I know one of the reasons
why. Does any college, like state college?
Well, you got that degree. As long as you.
Now I can hear.
Oh, you couldn't hear before? I thought you were saying it was.
As long as you went through the process.
Tell me, Joyce a trooper. I'm about to put them headphones on. I don't think it was.
I want you to go through the process of college. Like you and Q just made a college reference. You like, oh, them first exams. Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to be, when y'all be doing that shit, I be left, what is them? You know what I mean? I even talked about it. You know, I think my struggle with platonic relationships with women is because I didn't go to college. And I think most real
people didn't get it out of you. Or you didn't get enough exposure to different types of women.
Well, I got exposure, but it was very, very non-platonic. Not platonic at all. So what I'm saying is I think most of the men who I'm talking to who have platonic relationships, that was birthed in college life.
Because sometimes it's even forced on you. Like, you go to Morehouse, you get a Spelman sister.
Right.
If you join a frat, you have a sister organization where it's like, those are your designated sisters. Okay. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then you get to college, you realize, man, I'm going to mess up a good study buddy by trying to fuck. This girl be cooking good. If we smash, it's going to go left. Let me just be cool.
You start to weigh all the different opportunities. Yeah.
If you didn't go to college, you're Pokemon.
trying to catch them all.
All of them. You got to realize you go from high school where you're supervised and you can't do nothing around a woman to bam, adulthood, titties whenever you want them. Like,
you're right about that. You are.
Think
right
about it.
That.
What's going to happen in the future where we decouple college because we don't need college anymore to get great paying jobs and you'll debundle college and you'll probably just go and pay a little bit just to fraternize because you need experience.
So I think, again.
Well, let's not get also too, like, I want to hear your third.
Yeah. Like, I'm just saying, I want my kids to have balance. And I think a lot of, both of my parents are college educated people. They're untraditional college educated. They are online. I feel like if they would have had a little bit more influence, I wouldn't have believed the lie that I believed when I was younger that I wasn't smart enough for college. Like, because they were untraditional college educated, they really never shared their college experience because it wasn't one to share. So most of what I desire in a partner is based off of my experience.
As a child.
Yeah. So number three, must believe in a higher power. And I'm okay with what she called that higher power. She could call it Buddha, Allah. I'm a Christian personally.
Okay.
But I believe in inner faith.
She could be Ifa.
Oh, no, she can't be Ifa. No, inside joke. Did through the crate. Did through the crate. Did through the crate.
Digging the crates.
So, she definitely can be Ifa. Like, but, you know, I just want my kids, like, at an early age, I was introduced to faith.
Yeah.
At an early age, I experienced faith and what it done for my life and how it informed decisions. And I want my kids to be able to have that. And I want their mother to be able to instill that even when I'm not instilling it. You know what I'm saying? So I say that's definitely number three. Number four.
Oh, it's four now.
I don't know. I never said it was three. It's a whole list.
Three.
I just stop at three.
No.
No, let's stop at three. Let's go to the next.
Excited about four.
No. I'm excited about all of them.
Okay.
She's listening.
Can we hear four?
She's listening.
Can we hear four?
I want to hear four. I was going to guess.
No, guess.
She got to have some money.
Digging a crate.
God damn.
Is that it?
I'm like sexy red. I want to rip baby mama like she got ripped baby daddy.
And I know
she got to know how to get money for real. She got to be a steward of money. Even if she don't know how to get it, I need her to be a good steward financially. Like, does she pay her bills? Does she have good credit? Is she conscious to how to leverage money? Because that's an area that I even need to grow in, right? Okay. So I need that balance of mm-hmm. that, right? And sometimes you can teach a child how to make money, mm-hmm. but if you make a million, you spend a million and 1 cent, you know, what you got? You know what I'm saying? So, like, I want a mother that can learn.
Do you want to be a sugar baby? Is a sugar baby for men?
Oh, yeah.
Nah. I mean, I'm a sugar baby now, but nah. Oh, come on, we just potting. Oh my goodness.
These are the crates. My boy do comedy.
Digging the crates.
No, I don't want to be a sugar baby, but honestly, she ain't got to be rich, but I do want her.
Understand money. Yeah, like, you need a woman, especially.
I don't want
nowadays.
Your first time having money be exposed to money through me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather you to be exposed. No. Yeah. I don't want to be your first ever. No. I don't want to be the first in nothing except taking your last name.
When the last time you did something for the first time?
You should start with that. All righty. The next question. It's not really a question. It's just a stream of consciousness. Oh, this one is my favorite thing to talk about. The nurture economy for Black women. So.
Oh, you said nurture or nature?
Nurture.
Okay.
So.
Break this down.
Since the beginning of time, basically women, and I'm speaking as a Black woman, have been nurture economies for men. You go out to make money, go to war, all the things. And all the things you need to support that economy is nurture, is taken care of. And now we're entering into this space. And I mean everything from sex, food, just being prepared for work. Like you just have what you need. Mm. And now my question is, to what extent have we shifted our mindset to think about the nurture economy for Black women?
Mm, that's a good stream of thought. I'm going to open up the call lines for all of my exes to call in right now. I am a nurturer.
Okay. In what way?
I listen. Like, you tell me you want something, like, mm-hmm. I am listening and I am creating an eco space mm-hmm. that reflects what you need in our relationship for me.
Okay.
You name it, from the entertainment when we go on dates, right? Mm-hmm. To the food that I get you, to understanding what you need when it's that time of month, like what makes you feel better, right? Okay. Like, I believe it's needed. I'm a natural servant. My whole life is service. I'm serving community every day. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, you got to imagine mm-hmm. how that is amplified. If I do that for a stranger, imagine how it's amplified for my lover. You know what I'm saying?
Is one of your love languages acts of service?
My love language is words of affirmation mm-hmm. and small gifts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what if I said, so you think, okay, you said the nurture economy for a Black woman.
I think it's needed. I think for all of our women, but specifically your lovers. One of the realest things ever said on this podcast mm-hmm. was Dr. F. Keith Slaughter. Shout out to him. And we asked him, what's one thing that you would have did different as a young father? Mm-hmm. And he said, I wish somebody would have told me to take care of my kid's mother. Like, mm-hmm. regardless of where we at, how she feeling,
yeah.
take care of my kid's mother, because your kid's mother will fuck your kids up in her pain.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. nurturing women is very important.
Yep.
Regardless if you're in relationship or not, yeah. you have to do it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's a maturity thing.
Yeah.
Because sure.
yeah.
you be looking like, I'm not even fucking.
Well, I was just talking to a young comrade about this, you know what I'm saying, about his book. And I was like, yo, I'm going to connect you with my boy Keith. Mm-hmm. Keith going to give you some insight.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it does look like you're doing things and they're not being taken granted for. And mm-hmm. that's okay. And it's your position as a man.
Yeah.
If you believe a man is what we call a man and mm-hmm. a man is responsible for doing the manly things.
Okay.
You got to know how to take that on the chin, even when you putting out a lot and it's not being received, you got to know it's a formula I work off of in life is P over P, purpose over people. And if your purpose is to make sure your child is in a great position and grow up well, you got to work through the people. And sometimes the people is your baby mother. So,
yeah.
So women, and I'm a mama's boy. Okay, and I got four sisters.
That's a great thing.
I don't have a mama's boy mama, though. So there's that.
That's a good way to describe
it. Yeah, there's that. So I'm a halfway mama's boy. Okay. I be trying.
But when you say black women's nurture economy, is that needed?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Well, because black women are the subculture classes. Having the most degrees, the most high level careers as far as career jumps, upward mobility, parity, black women meet that. And if they still want to marry and date a black mm-hmm. man, most likely they're going to make more money. So then what does she need to make the economy work? And is he willing to
be that? Be at the house.
I didn't say be at the house. I just said make her life easier.
Now I get it.
So you mean to nurture the economy?
Because she is the economy.
Okay.
Got you.
Yeah, I ain't with that shit.
Well, yeah, because I'm about to say, because it does depend. You say, because when you say economy, I think it depends on your mind state. Because the economy now that we come together, I'm equating economy, right, with ecosystem, because we all have to come together.
I want you to equate it with this person makes the most money in the house.
Oh, okay. So
she on that Gabrielle Union.
To answer you direct, if you making the most, then yes, I will cook and clean if you are making the most money. But it's a caveat. It's a caveat because that caveat.
You see
comes,
how he just was telling me all the things and that shit switched.
Well, it changes
now.
Because the caveat is this, right? Because
yeah, it ain't about your money. It's about who you are and what you need me to be.
It's not what you're doing.
I don't give a fuck about the money.
Yeah, no one does. But,
women do care because I make the most money. You should do this. What I'm saying is at the door, if I'm choosing you to be my person, this is done regardless of money or that. And it is reciprocated.
Yep.
Most of my relationships fail because the reciprocation is not there.
And when did you get this money? Because if I started out as the breadwinner, right? And we leverage that for you to go back to school to get more than what I'm having now.
That's like the 90s though. 89.
That
was a broad brushstroke, but I'm just saying it feels as though now you're on the dating sites, you're meeting these women that have the college degree already, that make good money, have already learned how to make money. So therefore, she's already on a track.
Allegedly.
That's fair.
That's the percentage that you're referring to, that's one side, right? But the
it's more data. Data.
When the money come in, that's where you lose me. What I'm saying is I'm down to do what needs to be done to make this work for us. But when you start adding the caveats or are you going to be the nurturer because she makes the most money?
See how y'all took that definition? I started off with saying since the history of time.
I don't care about history.
We define nurture economy for men as the ecosystem around him to be able to go to war or to be able to make good money. And what I'm saying is now that the roles have shifted, let's just talk about what the characteristics. I didn't put anything on you. I understand
what you're saying, but I guess it's hard for me to grasp a little what you're saying.
I know
it is. Because I'm going to tell you, but let me tell you why. Let me tell you why.
Women podcast.
That's what I'm saying. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
It's not because of what you're saying. It's because of historically and what I've seen from my ancestors and my people. Yep. What you're describing sounds more European. Where I come from, it already was an ecosystem. Like that man, he wasn't just going to war just to take from a bunch of other people. A European was. I'm going to war to protect you. And when I get back, our African men, they would take care of children. They wouldn't just, I'm not touching. That was some European stuff. So what you're referring to in my mind sounds like a capitalistic system. Like, okay, well, now we're in this capitalistic system,
for sure.
Right? How do you adjust as a man if a woman makes more money? The only way I can adjust is if that woman understands the same data that you're talking about, yeah. Right? When you go to work, mm-hmm. then look at the data and ask yourself, well, why is my department 89-90% women and only 10% men? Like, ask yourself that question. Then when you realize, the scholarship opportunities, when they started these minority programs, they gave you double as a black woman. They didn't give you that for a black man. Yeah. And only black men that got those opportunities, you had to test high. Everybody doesn't test high. We have a brother right here who told himself, I don't know if I can go to college. But everybody who knows Eldridge mm-hmm. knows how smart he is. So it's like, I understand what you're saying, yeah. right? But if you're coming just blanket, mm-hmm. I'm making money. You ain't. We can't talk. But if you can say, well, I'm making money. What have you been through, brother? Let's talk. You might find this brother lost family. This brother lost. It's a lot of things that, like, for men, right? When a man messes up one time in this society, you can get pushed back 5-10 times. On the other side, because we've worked in these services before, I worked in a nonprofit service.
Yeah.
I've seen a list of services for women in any condition. Mm-hmm. You can be an ex-stripper. You can be an ex-hoe. You can be an ex-drug trafficker, drug addict, anything, and we'll clean you up. Mm-hmm. We have a program for you, and in 5 years, you'll be making more than any of your counterparts.
Yep.
So I say all that to say, mm-hmm. I can understand what you're saying if the sister understands too. And if she can understand me personally, I can't go any further because of where we are. Because a lot of brothers, if you look at the stats, black men, mm-hmm. the CDC states this, mm-hmm. that we are taking care of our children in a higher proportion than any other race in America. That tells me that there's some men compromising to take care of them children because mama has to work.
Yeah.
So I think it can be done.
1,000%. I agree with everything you're saying. What I'm trying to say is, like, here we are with these facts. So you're right. Both sides need to understand, one, how we got here. There's been an attack on the black nuclear family. There's been an attack on the black nuclear family since welfare. Mm-hmm. You had welfare, then the black man couldn't stay there. So this is a byproduct of that. And so both sides, so I lean towards the positive side, right? So mm-hmm. it's like, okay, now we're here. Women make more money. Black women make more money. If they still want to date black men, there's data we all have to digest.
But this is the data that I think that black women are ready to digest, right?
Well, I'm gonna just finish.
I'm gonna tell you this last part because our narrative's changed. Hold on,
it's her podcast. You gotta let her finish.
I'm gonna do like a rude guest though, because the narrative's changed so quick. No, because
I tried to pretend.
I know you did. You did. But the narrative's changed so quick. So keep in mind too, the generation that you're talking to are men that were raised by single women.
Yeah.
Women who made more.
Yeah.
The first wave of the women to make more.
Yes.
So you're not talking to our fathers and antiquated ways of thinking. You're talking to men who, you can have money. You can buy me shit. I'm a, small gifts is my love language. You know what I'm saying? We're open to that. My granddaddy would have never.
Rolled over.
You know what I'm
saying?
You can do everything you got to do.
I think that, I guess I brought it up too, because I don't think there's enough thought work around it. Because what you're saying is, I agree 100% with it, but you've done some thought work around it. You've understood there has been transitions. And what I'm saying is, we have to literally put it on the table and say, now, what are these new respectability? Like, how do we now create new respect in the home? Because how you were raised to, because I know most of us or some of us have been raised with single mothers, but it didn't change the way that some people thought the patriarchal household should work. So if just because mom was going to work doesn't mean she was respected or nurtured more. So you probably didn't see that. You didn't see her nurtured in the home with the black man. Mm-hmm. So we do have to talk about what does that look like now that we both want to be in the home and we want the family in the home. Mom makes more. What does that mean?
What do you think it should look like?
Yeah, I was about to ask that question.
Yeah, I think first there has to be reconciliation. Black women, because I talked to someone, because I went to all the Emory's, the Dukes, the University of Cape Town. Like, I've studied, all this potential, but I grew up with a single mother and I had a father who was impeccable. He worked. She went to school. It clashed. Because why? This European capitalistic thought process of you don't need anyone. You got this. Yada, yada, yada. And those are lies. Those are deep lies. So he grows resentful and doesn't feel respected as the man. And she grows more empowered, but doesn't understand that the goal. And my grandma would say, that's not even why you're here for, you know, my grandma would be talking to you for real. But so I think the reconciliation has to come with Black women. We have to understand, like, you want a family. It's okay. Like, you.
I think what happened was our generation, our mothers was the first wave of like that empowerment. Yes. Mm-hmm. And what happened was we have been told a lot of times that women are the most emotionally intelligent and quote unquote, just higher morality than men in a sense.
Yeah.
But what we've come to find out that given the same power dynamics, you'll do the same thing as a man, i.e. what Gabrielle Union said, right? So to your point, you're right. It has to be put on the table.
It has to be a reconciliation.
And you have to understand too, the ebbs and flows of a relationship. Like, you might make more now, but what's our potential as well? Because a good example is
they don't care about it.
That's my thing because
potential.
No. I ain't talking about potential. I ain't talking about potential as far as now that we're a family, right? And you're making more money. You can't make that money if I don't stay home and take care of this child, right? Like,
you can't get a nanny.
Oh, so that's more money going out. Right? Like, what I'm saying is for us to keep continuously to accumulate wealth.
Yeah.
There's some things that I now have to do that it doesn't come with a monetary value, but like the sweat equity in what I'm doing has to.
I ain't have a monetary value.
No, I'm saying there is, but I'm saying there is not put on the table. So
in they head, it ain't.
Yeah. But it is if it's the other way around, because that's how we got here. Because if the man had to work, and a woman stays home and cooks and
there's clean, value on that.
Exactly.
I think we should just kill all the rules and really just like look at it and say, what do we want? What kind of life do we want to live?
Oh, no.
I agree. Rules. No, it has that's why my love language is small gifts. Like, fly me out. Like,
flew me out. Like, they flew me out.
Straight up.
I'm just saying, just put on the table and have it even
all
out.
The rules.
Yeah, you're not going to work 40 all hours the rules. And sit at home.
Stop talking to your friends.
Yeah.
Stop sharing it in the group chat.
That's it.
Just do what worked with you and your man.
You. Listen, folks, I heard Gayle King gave that man $40,000 for his child support.
You know,
come on,
it wasn't
you
40. Know. He asked for like 5.
Folk.
But he paid it back though.
I thought that was.
That was tacky,
really,
but
it was tacky that she told the story.
Gayle King,
that's what I thought.
It was tacky that she told.
But if Gayle King is running into that, come on. Like,
it show you what's out here.
It's out here.
One, I ain't like that she told the story.
Me either. You know I didn't like that.
So that's the first part. But I got issues with Gayle anyway. Me and Gayle just got issues. And I agree with you. There needs to be a reconciliation. I feel like all the women should come and get down and apologize for making more money than that.
And then real talk, like, you want to be real about
it? I apologize for not sliding my debit card under the table so you can pay.
I'm just saying, you want to be real about it? Like, how much is more money?
I can't.
Hey, shout out to the brother that I had that have him fuck.
Hey, man, come on, bro. You,
hey, that's listen. The thing. Hey, shout out to the sister that give it to you before you get out the car.
Oh, I love it. Let me tell you,
she the match. She
I was at out with the fella the other day, and it was 2 Black women, and they were like, you know, my kind was like giving them compliments. We would compliment each other, what we do. And sometimes, like, I'll buy the drink or because I'm like, why not? And so I bought it, and when I tell you, they looked at him. And I just like looked away and started laughing. And it's beautiful because we want to protect. But this is also where the reconciliation.
I never pull out
my, you know, payments with him or most men that I will go on dates with. But I think it's cute when you can just like, I'll pay for it. Don't worry about it. Like, they don't know that. They just seeing it right there.
I want my woman to keep her card on her hip like a racist police officer got a gun.
I'm on the wrong podcast. I made a mistake.
Nigga.
Abort. Abort.
I invented this.
Abort.
Bruh, do you know to this day?
I invented the register, huh?
Bruh, to this day, my old lady still remembers that shit. Like, I don't remember this night at all. She said, yeah, I remember that time we went out and everything. And you talking about you left your wallet at home. I said, bro, I don't even remember this shit. Like, yeah, it was January such and such.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And I hit her with the... Oh, man.
I've been empowering women since the early 2000s.
I really don't think... To tell you the truth, though, I think it is switching. And I don't think it's a problem.
All right, next card.
I think it depends on the industry, though. Like, what's money? Like, if you're coming from tech, okay, I know you got money. But if you're just in customer service and got a bunch of fucking promotions, so you can get fired and be right down here.
Next card.
But why? I don't want you to even have that attitude. What I'm trying to say is this should be celebrated.
Next card. We cool with y'all making money.
Yeah, come on.
Trying to find a way
off.
Out of it.
Let's break it down.
Next one. All right. And this one is going to take some real thought work from you. I'm going to read this statement.
Get the edit point.
And then I'm going to give you an example of what I mean, that I want you to fill it out. Okay?
Okay.
We in the community. We want the full taste of X, but must stomach the calories of Y. So I'll tell you what my X and Y is. We want the full taste of economic parity for Black people, but we must stomach the calories of no minimum wage. Like, kill the minimum wage if we want Black economic parity.
Right.
So what's yours? As a statement from Eldridge, we want the full taste of this. Like, we say we want this so bad. But in order to do that, we have to stomach the calories of Y. What's your X? What's your Y?
You are right. That does take brain thought.
Thinking. You work out? Are you a fitness?
I do. Thank you so much. I go to
look at
the best.
Look at that.
Gym, performance arts gym, Effect Fitness, Metropolitan. Thank you very much. That's
It's right up the street.
Yeah.
I always pass them when I'm eating my biscuit from Lakewood Diner.
I always pass them
and I look at them and I feel so ashamed. But then I get to the light and forget about y'all.
But even just how she made that statement, like you want this, but you got to take the calories.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We want the full taste of X,
yeah,
but must stomach the calories of
Y. We want the full taste of freedom, mm-hmm, but must stomach the calories of violence. Yeah, that's that. That's just what it is. And we don't got the stomach for it.
Okay. I'll do something a little bit lighter because I went all of it came in.
I just want you to do what you want to
do. Your thing.
Yeah, do your thing.
What is your biggest distraction, but you can't live without it?
Women.
Nah,
let me be real. Biggest distraction, but I can't live without it. Women is a subgroup in that, but honestly, people.
People.
Just people, period. Like, I mean, my team will tell you, I'm a true extrovert. Like, I love us for real. Like,
yeah.
I can't even work. I got a membership at every co-work in the city, from Gathering Spot, Russell, Wee, you name it.
Right.
Like, I'm in all of them. But I don't go there to work.
You go there to converse and...
Yeah,
that's true. Like, we went to the gym one time, and my gym, and I was like, bro, I don't talk to nobody. I just walk straight to...
And he went in there.
He did it. He did it, but I saw it in his face, like... I gotta say what's up to this nigga. Like, I was like, damn, you really fuck with people. Like, yeah. Some people say they fuck with people, but...
And women is a subcategory of that, but okay. I love just people for real, and I couldn't live without them.
And it's a big distraction.
Yeah, it is. Like, because I can easily be in the middle of something I know I need to do, and I can justify being distracted because I'm helping a person. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Those people.
Okay.
Prime example, why I was late for this podcast. Distracted people. By people.
These are good questions.
Yeah. You're so great. Yeah, like, yeah. I love your podcast.
Yeah. Thanks. Your podcast is pretty dope.
All right. What's your diet like?
So, as you can see, I've been posting on my social media. I haven't seen it. Oh, well, I've been on my weight loss journey. I'm down since November 50.
You look great.
Thank you. I started to eat cleaner. Let me just capital E-R on the earth, meaning cutting out a lot of fried food, stuff like that. But I don't have a diet routine. I'm still pretty much, my diet lacks so much discipline.
Oh.
I could add way more in it. You know what I'm saying? But I don't eat crazy. I love vegetables.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Drink water, but I'm not like deep on it like I need to be.
Okay.
But this trip really empowered. Like this documentary.
I saw you somewhere picking.
Yeah. Yeah. The this documentary won. L. Garden is back.
Hey.
So during COVID, I built a garden called L Garden.
Okay.
Oh, man.
It was beautiful.
It was, yeah, it was beautiful.
It was really beautiful was. Garden. It's really back. L Garden's back.
Okay.
Oh, what's up? My sister got some herbs the other day. We just planted some little garlic and all that little herbs and shit she got. Cilantro.
Yeah, oh, so nice. So what we're about to see is the discipline that's lacking in my diet.
Okay.
Coming in. But right now, no flex. I eat cleaner. I don't like eat pork and you know what I'm saying? But I don't have like this discipline regimen in my diet.
Okay. I've been studying nutritional psychiatry.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that everyone will be greater once they like eat more plant-based, get more sleep, fast.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we'll reach, we don't even know how good it can get as far as like what that will do for everything we do.
You want to be my, nutritionist and help me with my new diet?
I'm not a nutritionist, but I definitely am like...
I'll let you try it. Let me test it out. I can't drink that though.
Your juice?
Okay, yeah, because I work on things at home like plant-based foods.
I'll let you finish working out the kinks. I know you said that's an experiment.
Yeah, but it's like if you'll drink a Celsius and...
You look great though.
Thanks. It's working.
Yeah.
And also I just think about... We think about all of the displaced people. What if they just had a month of plant-based food? What do you think will happen?
We said this. What are you talking about?
Homeless.
What you said? What would it do?
Yeah, if they just had like a month of plant-based food only,
they're gonna be displaced, but look great.
I was they already kind of skinny.
No. Listen to what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Nutritional psychiatry. Because now we understand that what you eat affects the brain and affects your mental health. So if all you've been eating for the past few years is like Twinkies, sandwiches, chips, because people want to bring you food, but it's a lot easier to kind of feed you in package and sugar. You know, sugar is the like number one cause of disease. So are we really mentally ill or did we just not have the right nutrition?
I think there's an argument for that.
For sure.
Yeah. Because I'm working on another documentary. So, and it's talking about our unhoused population, but the levels of it.
Yeah.
So when I think about displaced people, I don't immediately go to street population.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about extended hotels, cars, couches.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about all of it.
Staying with your mama.
Yeah.
Like, I still.
But I agree. It applies to everybody. Yeah. But when I hear unhoused people, I'm thinking to the levels of it.
Yeah.
Because that's something I'm passionate about right now.
But I do like that about that food. Because
I agree with
kids beyond like the ADHD medicine. You just change their diet.
The largest fast food is our public schools lunch. Mm-hmm. Lunch. The largest fast food.
It's horrible too.
So I look forward to your plant-based diet.
We're going
to
work together.
Okay. Okay. This is what I love to tell myself all the time when I'm thinking I'm important is that we all die. Like I have a very ominous thought process around things. So we all die.
Right.
Like, why is your legacy important? Or is that ego?
You're saying why is it important?
Yeah.
For me, for the example, for people to continue to do the work. Most of my life of how I moved is based off legacies that I've studied. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's Steve Biko's, whether it's my grandfather, whether it's people that I have followed and seen the work that they've done, it influenced me to try to be that. You know what I'm saying? I recently went to a play, stage play, for Fila. Mm-hmm. And didn't really know much about his story. I'd heard of him, knew his music, but I didn't really, this play kind of like talked about his story. So he was the, if I had to explain it, he was the James Brown Kwame Ture of Nigeria. Oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? Amazing musician.
Is he the one that started Afrobeats, they said?
A lot of that came out of his music.
He came here and then he took it back.
So he started here. He started in Nigeria, went to London, studied music, and listened to everybody's drums, the Congo, the Cuban drums. And then he came to America, California, Oakland, during the height of the Black Power movement, met a sister.
Always.
She opened up, like in the stage play, they say the minds of the people was on fire.
Yeah.
Foundation.
And you know, and this sister challenged him to read the books of and the legacies of people that are no longer here.
Yeah.
And it influenced his music. He came home and weaponized his music.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I watched that and I was like, yo, I wish every young person that's doing music right now could study the legacy of Fila. Because if they did, we'll understand when I'm having this conversation about, but what is your music doing? Like, what are you?
Right.
Like, most people, music now is, I want to make money.
Right.
It's not about even influencing people. It ain't even about starting a movement. I just want to make money. And so, yeah, that's why I think it's important. I think if you live your life right, a legacy is important for the example, at least.
Yeah, info's been sleeping on the music foundation from America. Yeah. Right. Because I heard him come up because Burna Boy, there was a conversation there. Because he was talking about like the, he was saying something about the moonwalk, but he was calling it something else and they were educating him on Afrobeats. And he was like, well, Afrobeats came from Africa. And they're like, you know, Fila came to America, got heavily influenced and then took that spark and took it back. And now it's all synergy. You know, it's like, it's still your people. It's not
a separation. I think legacy is important. Especially for families too.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially since I was in North Carolina with a family with 150 acres that's been in that family for 100 years. Mm. No. 200 acres that have been in that family for 150 years.
How they keep it?
And that's what you'll see in the documentary.
Hey.
but they 8 generations. They're 8 generations deep. You know what I'm saying? So I think legacy is important for the example. It's the blueprint.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much time we got?
It's your show.
Okay. All right. Sometimes I go against legacy because I think it's also like, it's ego-driven sometimes, and I guess it is. Like, you want to be remembered for something that you did, even though, like...
But, you know, most people, real legacies was carried on by people after they left. You gotta realize, Coretta Scott King founded the King Center. Dr. King never asked for a center or a street. Like, everything that happened with Dr. King's name was his wife. She fought for that.
Yeah, I guess what I mean, like, in terms now, when people say, oh, I got to do this because I got to leave a legacy.
Well, yeah.
And I think.
But I don't think that's legacy.
Like ego. Yeah.
I don't think that's legacy. That's ego.
But that's what we're in now. Mostly, yeah. Would you agree? Maybe.
Yeah, like, because most people are not studying legacy. So they're recreating the terminology. They're rewriting the terminology of what it really is. So the real legacies, most of these people, like, you know. I tell people all the time, we are living the pages that our children will read tomorrow.
Mm. You know? Just have those quotables just like sitting there. Do you?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But like, we are, like, what we're doing right now is what our kids are going to say. Like, when people say in 2024, when the world was going to shit, like, what were you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, people didn't, I don't think Rosa Parks then were like, oh yeah, they're gonna, I want them to be like, oh, I sat down on this bus.
Yeah.
She didn't have a phone, a selfie recording herself. You know what I'm saying? Like, people had to record it for her. So I think real legacies and real impact happen because people live purpose-driven lives, and it was worth talking about years later.
Yeah.
But what you seeing now, that is that ego. That's ego.
And I don't think there's no reverence now. Like, how you revere Derek Bozeman, so no matter what, legacy is going to carry on. How many people our age actually revere an elder? And if that elder passes, it's on me to, like, I know if anything ever happens with DB, elders don't carry that torch. Like, let us make man's don't keep going. It's, and that ain't got nothing to, that was just him living his life and the legacy got passed on. I don't know how many people our age can say they look up to somebody and like, I want outside of sports, you know, they'll do that in sports a lot, but like our academics are, even just for the cultures, is anything for the community. We don't, you know, I'll just say it all the time. Like, they're dying off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, who, if that's not your blood, who's carrying it on?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
so I think what you have a disdain for is not legacy.
And it's like, I don't have a disdain for it. I'm just working it out through myself. Like, we work so well.
I have a disdain for it, me personally.
For ego? Or legacy?
In that ego that is being disguised as legacy.
I don't think people know that or can really tell the difference
I think people know. They just want their name out there. And that's ego. People know.
Because at the end of the day, everybody knows, especially with social media and stuff, everybody knows when I die, something's going to be known about me.
Yeah.
So I need to try to rewrite this narrative in a different way.
Like the way I'm living right now, if I was to die tomorrow, not saying I'm king, but I have touched enough people genuinely, something's going to happen.
Yeah. But who cares about that? You're dead.
But what I'm saying is the example to keep it going. Like, yo, it was great shit was happening.
I see.
Like, Quaylen would care. Quaylen would be like, I remember Eldridge doing this.
Yeah, it's like, it's just an example. Like, we have to keep this going. Like, prime example, my mentor, Michael Langford, passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He did the UIAC, a Teen Leadership Institute, every year. And he did the teen beach bum trip every year where he took kids from the project that had never been to a beach, It was great work. Yeah. That was his legacy. We got to keep it going. It was the example of
it. I love it this way. I guess I'm looking at all the spectrum of what drives us to have a purpose-driven life.
Yeah.
Because we're everything and nothing all at once. It's like, it is important, but it's also like, non-important.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All at the same time. So, okay. Equity of opportunity versus equity of outcome. Which one are you? I'll give you an example.
Yes, please.
We talked about sort of like the politics behind getting into politics, but it's sort of like, I would say like the equity of outcome could maybe an argument on the side of getting rid of certain affirmative action could be like, well, this is equity of outcome, right? We are trying to contrive or force upon a result that wouldn't naturally be there. So this can be unfair. Or we are trying to say, here's like, maybe a certain allowed it amount of incentives and. Okay. No, actually, I have a better one. I have a better example. Everyone should be. I keep coming back to this minimum wage because the fucking Reddit people. I fucking hate the Reddit people sometimes. Anyway.
I always admire people that know how to use Reddit for real.
They'll kick you off. They don't like what you're saying. Ooh. Okay. So, okay, like this thought belief that, you know, the minimum wage has to be this price. Mm-hmm. It, in a sense, has this equity of outcome. It says everyone who works at anywhere, at any place, doesn't matter, needs to make this amount of money. Mm-hmm. Even if our productivity levels are different, even if, I don't know, I have money at home and I don't really need it, doesn't mm-hmm. really matter. The outcome of this should be this. A lot of times this is done in identity politics to move the vote or to mobilize Black people in a certain way. They say, because all of y'all need this and y'all got to have it. And it's just like...
So based off that definition, equity of opportunity.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, and explicate.
Because outcome is still you designating my future mm-hmm. and what you want from me.
Yep.
Give me reparations. Mm-hmm. Give us a real reparation package. That's our opportunity. And let us show you what Black Americans look like.
Yeah.
You know, so outcome is saying we'll give you a house. We'll give you a car. Like,
Well, the thing about it is, I think it's so convoluted because of how you try to explain it initially, right?
Because I'm just giving so many examples because it's all of it. And I think we don't take a look at each one of them individually and see what would be the consequences.
I want that opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's the opportunity.
The opportunity, equity opportunity, redlining never happened. You know what I'm saying? The equity opportunity, all these things that we went through, Jim mm-hmm. Crow, mm-hmm. that fucked us up mm-hmm. and slowed us down. Like equity of opportunity, the promise of 40 acres and a mule comes true. You know what I'm saying? And if you got the opportunity, we never really got an opportunity. We fought for it and we've made our way through it, but they never really have given us a chance to do what we do.
See, the issue is,
I think equity of outcome, who defines outcome?
That's what
we're trying
to
define
that. No, that's what I was just about to say.
And that's why I say I can define an opportunity easier than I can define an outcome.
Hey, shout out to our new cameraman. Y'all see you walking through trying to get these pictures. You don't get it together next time. I was going to say that equity of outcome there, to that point, what's the outcome? And it has to be an oxymoron because there's no way, like as a mathematician, I know there's no way for you to just give me the outcome. Because there's a way to work it backwards. So there's always a problem and a solution. Just give me the equity of the opportunity. We'll get the outcome. The issue is mm-hmm. they want you to think that equity opportunity is equity of outcome. You can never have the equity of outcome. That will never happen.
Now, take this same thesis because I'm glad we're here. Mm-hmm. We can probably list maybe a lot of different... I'm not speaking identity politics. I'm just saying if we look at the docket of what politicians, folks who sit in seats are saying, hey, we need to move this way because you deserve this. And the reason I'm saying this is because I just feel like it's manipulative when you don't understand that what we want are more opportunities to compete and to be able to have a fair, equitable shot to, mm-hmm. you know, school our children, have access to higher paying roles and positions, have great healthcare, all of the sort of hierarchy of needs. Instead of focusing on that, we're saying, well, let's just bypass that. And y'all just can just get this, this, and this, and this. And I think that's where we also have to have this pound cake speech, pound cake conversation where we say, actually, this is getting convoluted. And I think a lot of what I've seen, and I hate to sort of generalize people, but it's just sort of like everything I've been seeing just sort of like that hypes us up or we gonna do this has been equity of outcome and not equity of opportunity.
And I get that. And I think the reason why it's mixed up like that mm-hmm. is because opportunity mm-hmm. equals outcome, right? Mm-hmm. So before you put the equity on, opportunity equals the outcome, mm-hmm. right? So everybody has opportunity.
Yep.
Is it equitable? We don't know. But everybody has opportunity. Mm-hmm. So boom, we have outcome. To make the opportunity equitable, though, mm-hmm. you got to take some of this outcome mm-hmm. and put it over here to make it. And I think that's where it gets messed up because I can't compete with you on the same level if you get to eat every day and I don't. Mm-hmm. And I only don't get to eat every day because, you know,
right.
we need reparation. Because, exactly. you know, it trickles down of off of not having mm-hmm. what your ancestors had. So we equal the level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to take some of that outcome to make it an equal, equitable opportunity. And I think that's where the issue clashes, because I'm looking at the outcome like, well, hold on. This is some of my outcome. This ain't got nothing to do
I
with
see
you.
What you're saying.
You. Yeah. Because yeah. But it was never fair. Like, your family got a 200 year head start in this race. So for us to make this race fair, you have to stop for 200 years. We catch up and boom, now is an equitable opportunity. Now we're starting at the same place. But you don't want me to get them 200 years, but it's only fair because you've had it. Because right. what I can't do is just wipe away that 200, you know?
I understand it. And so this is why this is such an important conversation, because of being convoluted of what these things actually mean in the marketplace. When we think that the person that is okay with working for the Benz is the same person that's okay with working and have a Honda, that's where we fall short economically, I think. Because some of the equity of outcome may be incentives wrapped in a reparation, wrapped in a tax, wrapped in a legislative policy that ensures all people of color, all Black, everyone gets this sort of reparation, even if it doesn't say to yourself, well, wait a minute, how would that be housed? Responsible, like, can everyone uphold this responsibility?
Well, then that to me, now that's where you do with your opportunity what you do with, because what we're telling you is, hey, we're about to run a race, they had a head start, we're stopping the race for them, y'all can catch up. Now in 200 years when we resume this race and you're not beside that person, that's on you.
And it also says y'all all had enough time to go to. That's what I'm trying to say.
But you at least have to give me the opportunity to say exactly. I don't want to run that race. So give me my reparations, and then I might buy some land. I might go to school. I might, but let me decide.
Let you decide.
And that's equity of opportunity.
Giving everyone a gold medal, because that's what, in my opinion, when we shift. To everyone okay, gets a gold medal, we lose out on so many opportunities, because guess what? Everybody really don't want a gold medal.
Now
everybody, some people just want to show up.
That's your perfect example of equity of outcome. Yes. Like, I don't want, I'm like that with my kids now. Like, yeah. Y'all,
Not everyone wants to work all day and do all this. Some people just like, fine, cool. And when we try to clump and try to say, in my opinion, that's where we lose most of the things that can push us forward, because it's equity of opportunity now. Cool.
That was good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You had a great podcast.
Yeah.
I'm almost there. Okay. Because I work in the future of work, I'd love to hear about what your thoughts are about. Let's just talk about. Cool. What do you think? If you can just paint a picture for me, what you think the future of work when it comes to actual work, employer. Who are the employers? Who are the, and so we can talk about it, I guess, from the small business side or the startup entrepreneur side. What do you sort of predict is going to be?
Well, if you did through the crates, you'll see my predictions are never right. thankfully, you know, my COVID predictions weren't right.
Mm-hmm.
but if I had to predict future work, Autonomy. Autonomous, I mean. There are going to be, you're seeing examples of it, right? When you see Flippy in California flipping burgers and there's one person there just to wipe Flippy off at the end of the night. That's where we're headed. Amazon just launched a factory with all of the robots running all the box. They're testing it right now. Yeah. You got to realize, because our work is ran by white men care nothing about human.
Whose work?
Anybody's working into the capitalistic corporate workspace. Like,
okay.
So if you're working for a job, that's your work.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we're talking about right here.
Well, I was just meaning, okay, well, let me be more specific. Like post-COVID, there were hundreds of thousands of new Black-owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And
PPP.
Mm-hmm. And so...
I seen somebody say to me, like, I wish I would do it. Ain't none of these niggas going to jail. That shit's so funny.
Yeah, being pretty rickety go to jail.
So, like, what does that look like now that, and I understand what you're saying, but I guess I'm speaking from, because this is the industry that I'm in, and I think deeply about, like, okay, great. Most entry-level Black folks that are making whatever are working retail and restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Those jobs, as we just spoke about, will be mostly displaced. They're going to create new jobs, but it won't be enough. This is like the offshoring of Ford and GMC right before it happened, right? What mm-hmm. happens to a community post those offshoring of jobs? So what do you think is going to happen? Yeah, there'll be some people working for it, but what do you think is like?
I can say this. I don't know. I know at the end of the day, people are going to, depending on what type of person you are, you're going to make the best. Self-preservation is a natural thing mm-hmm. for people to do, right? I can even talk about me. We mm-hmm. got employees here.
Mm-hmm.
And Keith, you can speak to this. How many AI tools have came in and made life way easier versus when we started? I'm talking about in the last 2 years.
Last
2 years.
Like, we've seen, like, we could eliminate people.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, low key, that one particular AI tool helped us just flat out eliminate a whole position. Like,
The position wasn't filled. It just made us to stop looking for it.
Yeah.
And it closed that gap for people who've been podcasting for a long time. Mm-hmm. If you came in when the AI stuff started popping, it looks like, oh, they got a lot of traction. They just
know how to use them.
Well, the AI came quicker. So, you know, we've been doing podcasts and this is coming up on our fifth year.
Tools that we got now would have been out when we first started. Video. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Been different. So what I think it looks like, I do think it's very little jobs. My cousin Troy is a high level developer. He's been on his podcast. He's talked about this. Mm-hmm. He's coded the work that is taking jobs. Yeah. So his belief on it is even deeper. Like when you start talking about, and I think it touches everybody, not mm-hmm. just small businesses. It touches creatives. It says like deep face. I got enough podcasts where I could create 10 different seasons without talking again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so I think it's definitely going to affect a lot. What I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited too.
I'm excited that it's going to force us to truly understand and believe that we are all we got. And we are going to have to organize to survive because you're just not going to have it. I'm excited about that.
I'm very excited. And another reason why I'm excited is because here we are in the future of work where Vower is leading that. What's important to me is that, great, we're going to probably have more entrepreneurs, more 2 to 3 person teams that will be their own corporation. So you don't actually need to necessarily hire the big wigs. You have 2 or 3 people, you'll hire like 2 or 3 interns, you know, very affordable, and it'll feel... Yeah,
the days of the 150 employees is over.
Yeah.
But if you're not there, you're probably not going to get there.
Let me ask you this, though. It just made me think about it. Well, AI, how does that disrupt some of that intern landscape? Because a lot of times interns are doing a little bit of the grunt work that, you know, like data scraping or something like that. This tool will do that now. So do you get the
someone
intern
has to manage it. So like, so like when we connect companies, small businesses, entrepreneurs with interns, we think about that. We want your interns to be your legs because you can move faster no matter how much AI. Someone still has to manage it. Someone still has to facilitate it. Someone still has to, you know, make sure you're refining it, iterate. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about even from year 1 to 5 here, so many different opportunities, you're going to displace a whole person unless you want to be actually pushing the buttons. Why? Because you got to go out and talk to the person or film the movie and you have a team of interns or a team of folks that makes sense to your business. And the reason why I push interns and entry-level folks so much is because it's an equal exchange. They need experience to make any kind of money for themselves in the future. And we're forgetting that. It's like all of our students, they're coming up and they don't have experience working at the podcast, and they just have Target or Chick-fil-A or whoever on there. How are they going to get higher paying jobs? How are they going to reach some type of level of sustainability? So we have, I think, the most to lose when we don't think about the entry-level internships this way, because it's like we need more affordable labor mm-hmm. as business owners, and they need experience, and they can take the risk more because they're younger. They don't have a family to support. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful. And if you think about how most corporations or countries have been built, it's been off affordable labor.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's what, yeah.
So we really are proponents of that. Okay. Another one. I have two more. Okay. As a business owner, and we have had to do interesting things sounds like
nasty.
To make money, to make it.
That's a strain for change.
Sometimes I'll post. I'm not ashamed.
We don't shame on this podcast.
No. Sometimes I'll post things about like, oh man, I need to make 10K by the end of the month. And these be like true statements. And some of the messages I get are insane.
Yeah, I got 10K for you right now. That's the kind of message you get.
And I just said to myself, I literally said to myself, okay, cool. Let's actually put some economy into this.
Mm-hmm.
To all the business owners, women business owners, whatever, think about this the way I'm thinking about it. If you don't get a chance to have VC investment, if the banks won't loan you money,
mm-hmm.
and you have to get it from purely sales or a side hustle, now, just think about it, because I've thought about it. Mm-hmm. And I know if I've thought about it, everyone has thought about it.
Everybody don't thought about selling push.
No, I wasn't going to say that. Oh my God. I wasn't going to say that.
That timing on that was perfect.
All right, come on, go.
You like alley oop. That's why.
You keep making all these disclaimers. Think about it.
No. Just think about it. Like, okay.
It's an investment.
No. Seriously, I'm
you
like.
You do it for free.
Entry level. We got you entry level.
You know, back in my day, I used to say it all the time. I'm like, baby, you don't fuck with that nigga for free. Fuck with me for a fee.
That's
something to think about. Because if we think about economy, it is like, how are you funding your business? So I literally had an email subject go out to my friends. But that's where I got to a point. I was like, oh, y'all got to help me with this. Like Bottle Girl or Sugar Baby, you decide. So I've thought about both of the, I've thought about all different things to fund Valor because I'm so serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was saying to myself, man, like, I don't know why this isn't discussed enough, like finance, like the finances that you need to run your business, because that's why a lot of our businesses fail, because they don't have enough capital. That's why you should have supportive interns so you can like use that to supplement. But I'm just thinking to myself, like, why don't we have these conversations of like, is that wrong if you're like a sugar baby? And what is a sugar baby? Because I'm also still, I guess it just depends on the person.
Well, let me break this down. First of all, you know.
And thank you for, because I feel like your message to me helped me to think about this differently. I got a what did different. I say? Your message helped me to think about it differently. I still think about it very differently now. So I'm just like, you just said like something about, you know, pretty women shouldn't have to have these problems. And I'm just like, well.
Baby, you're sitting on a gold mine.
Sitting on a gold mine.
Let me just say that.
What?
Like, you're sitting on a gold mine. Like, when you're pretty, Ebony K. Williams has this book. It's called Pretty Privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no reason. I mean, to that point, there's no reason why a pretty girl should be struggling. And it's not to say that you got to actually sell your pussy. Nah. Mm-hmm. But, like, there is an exchange.
Sell a piece of it.
Yeah, basically.
What? I thought you were going somewhere I could say with. No,
because that sums it up, right? Like, A good example, we have
personality.
We've seen this happen.
Personality.
We've seen this happen. That's the name of the episode. We've seen it happen, right?
Yeah.
Carisha Please is a prime example of a pretty girl. Now, she described all the other stuff she did, but initially, she's just a pretty girl that's gotten opportunities.
Yeah.
That's kind of just off of being pretty. We've seen it in the music industry a lot, where it's like, okay, she has the look, she can't rap. Cardi B, she has the look, she can't rap. Let's give her the lyrics. She'll sell the sex. We'll put the machine behind her together. Boom, let's make the money. Saying that to say, it's been, I feel like it's been done a little bit. Like every time I look, we had this joke at South by Southwest 1 year when Blockchain was just going crazy. Oh, yeah,
Blockchain.
And it's like all of these pretty girls happen to be co-founders of all of these tech startups. I mean, it was so many tech. So many, and it's like, oh, and then you meet the technical dude. You're like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. You got the tech. She got the sex. It sells. She's not fucking none of these VC capitalists, but she looks good as hell on stage.
Yeah.
And the technology matches too. It's a done deal. So why would I not?
So, definition of sugar baby. Mm-hmm. It all depends on, you ain't got to edit. Keep pressing that button. I mean, you're trying to save me. It all depends on the sugar daddy.
Okay.
Mm, yeah.
Sugar baby actually is a pretty universal.
Yeah.
You are a young,
attractive, and intelligent.
Not all of them.
I'm saying the documentary I saw. Yeah. These dudes were looking for the smart sugar baby.
Well, because again, it depends on sugar daddy, because some sugar daddies actually want you to talk. Like the older I get, the more I understand and appreciate Pretty Woman. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's the most oxymoron movie in the world. Because he was a rich man who could get any woman he want. And because of that, women wanted his time and attention and they were getting on his nerves. Mm-hmm. So he went and got a sugar baby, paid her so she could just give him what he need. Mm-hmm. Attention. Like, I want every woman to go watch Pretty Woman right now. But there's one scene that women need to pay attention to. It's when he brought her to the hotel and she was watching cartoon. He's working. He's on phone. He's calling.
He gave her that look.
And she's watching TV, t-shirt, panties on, laughing in her own world, not bothering him. Mm-hmm. He's seen her enjoying herself so much. He hung up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hold on, I'll call you back tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then he came over there. And then when he called her, she went right to work. They went right to work.
I thought you were going to spend more time in the fact that he was just enjoying.
No, but what I'm saying is because she was enjoying herself and respecting his boundaries, his work boundaries, which normally get disrupted from men.
And we just talked about the nurture economy for women, so that throws a spin in there too. But yep.
He wanted to spend time with you.
Yeah.
But the issue is a lot of times men don't do that with women. We see that you need that space to work because we understand what that economy is. This is a new economy for y'all.
Yeah.
So
what I'm saying is
Sugar baby,
mm-hmm. like just if he allows you in his space, be there. But engage when he's going to engage when you're ready, because you wouldn't even be there if he didn't want to engage. So you ain't got to be thirsty for it. You ain't got to beg for it. You got to be just chill. He coming. Mm-hmm. So the oxymoron is that he stopped paying her and actually made her a girl. Now you in square one.
Yeah.
Back to the basics. Pretty Woman too. But nah, I think Sugar Baby over Bottle Girl too. Cause I saw that whole documentary.
I ain't gonna lie, like
one dude was putting her on game. He was taking her to the golf course.
That's why I say it's different types. Yeah. It's sugar daddy. He either a trick or he a duck.
What?
A trick or a duck?
Duck.
Yeah.
What's the duck?
A trick get a treat, and a duck never fuck.
All right.
Yes.
I've learned now how to rape. I'm kidding.
No, but for real, though, there are some dudes
that will pay you just to be impressed to smell that pussy.
Oh my gosh, I did get a very cryptic message during this time about like somebody did offer like a substantial amount of money. And it's weird because they knew me. They were like, oh, I've been seeing you build your company. Yeah, like
man, you know how many men want you?
But no, I'm just saying like I felt like it was because it was
this your podcast. How real do you want to be?
Listen. I want to be real. Let me just tell you this part though. It was a fake page. And this person was like running. That's the weird part. It was just like, I guess he didn't want to disclose himself. Yeah, because
he's a trick.
Okay.
Yeah, because you might have said no because he know you. So he was like, I'm going to throw it out. Because the thing is, every nigga would be waiting for that little message on IG or whatever post you put up. That was like, oh, okay. That's you know what? Niggas just need a toe in the dough.
Who needs some help?
Okay, I feel like we need to talk about this more because...
It ain't like I mean all I'm saying is it's your podcast. Yeah. We can get it real with it if you want it real, but the reality is, come on, Rejoice.
No, I do.
You a beautiful sister.
I'm not a
beautiful sister. You're super intelligent. So it's like, damn, not only she's beautiful, she's smart. Then you be working out with a little short song, nipples popping like they popping right now.
Wow.
Like, let's just have a real conversation. Okay. Niggas is looking.
And you go with the flow too.
And niggas want you. So just don't confuse a person being respectful and a gentleman like he ain't got dang ready. All you got to do is say when.
I think women don't understand that y'all do have the ability to walk into the lion's den and not get eaten.
That's what a nigga will eat you.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's what I think needs to be, you know, even for like, I mean, so many, we talk about this all the time. Women from all literally go to Afrotech and have whole big tables of beautiful black women that are like, I'm trying to raise. And I'm like, I think we're doing this wrong.
All I'm saying is, one, don't think them white girls not doing it. Two,
exactly.
There are some men that will pay for companionship.
Yeah.
If you be real, like, I'll go with you on this. Now, there are things that you can do to safeguard yourself and make sure you're safe and you're good. But there are dudes that will literally pay you. I just want you to be. I know somebody right now that be paying women just to be his comrade at dates, out of outings. I just want to. You got a good personality. You smart. Can I talk to you?
And you got something going for yourself. So when I carry you on my arm, you tell somebody what you're doing. Like,
there's dudes that will pay for that. But they also going to give you that McDonald's suggestive selling. Would you like an apple pie with that?
Like, didn't come for the apple pie.
You could just get your meal.
For the fries.
You could just get your meal.
And what do you say? What would you say? What if you're literally just wanting to like...
Well, look, you were clear at the counter before he made a purchase.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
You were clear at the counter before you made the purchase.
Because low-key, I do think
because I have personally bought the meal just knowing I'm going to sell the apple pie because my upselling works. And all she wanted was the meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to just respect it.
Wait, I bought the
meal. Meaning the bill. Like, I am coming at you on some, we kicking it. It's all platonic and professional. But we are spending time together.
Who's that comedian that was like, a nigga would just be chilling with you. You know, and they'll do all the nice things. But you want some dick? No. All right, cool. And then, you know, I'll fix your car. We'll go for a ride. You want some dick? No. All right, cool. And then we'll talk about venture capital. Yeah. And you want some dick? No. All right. I don't want no dick. Okay, cool. I'm going to stop.
So
wanted to try.
But that was me back in the day. That was Young Eldridge. Mm-hmm. Young Eldridge operated in the gray. And most niggas do. Mm-hmm. Most niggas like the gray. The gray is foggy and y'all be running in the shit, right? So
what are we?
Exactly.
What are we doing now?
Black and white for me. I'm telling you up front. I want a consent text before you even come to the house.
And that's for a lot of older men, that's what is this point. Look, listen, I have found out my trick off budget, right? I know how much money I make. I know how much I can spend on dates. Why am I going to go spend this additional $5,000 on just randoms, when I can come to one particular girl that's gonna have everything I need, and we have a fair exchange on whatever I need.
Yeah.
It's not always gonna be just flat out sex. It could be a bunch of other
stuff. And sometimes I'm gonna give y'all a hack since we're having a real conversation.
Yeah.
if you want to draw out and slow down, I don't want to physically fuck with you. Nudes help.
I'm so sorry. What'd you say?
Nudes.
Oh, okay.
That's a hack. That is
nobody don't know that's your titty. We ain't never seen them. Crop your face.
AI it. Sora.
See, you on the advanced shit already.
You on the level. You're making videos. What I'm saying is, you know. So, hey, look.
Oh, yeah. I get the AI for news.
For me, it's like, it's that's the curiosity funny. Of it all.
Yeah.
Like, you be wanting to know, man. Well, I bet that, man, that motherfucker look good. She
and you there's something after you get the nudes, like, I'm good. I won't try you for another 2 months.
Chill. You know, a nude by your
lips. But I do think black girls are playing it a little wrong because
y'all fucking for free.
Not just fucking for free. It's too much empowerment. Not too much empowerment. Like, you know, like white women, they will have all the credentials and still twirl their hair.
Yep.
And
NLE Chopper say, if I'm a bad bitch, I'll fuck me too.
I'll fuck me too. That's the news.
Yeah.
But that's it. They'll have all the credentials, twirl their hair still.
And they'll have a sponsor who's like.
Because the last part of it is, yeah, I want to give you money, but how receptive are you? And as a black woman, you already kind of have that. Just like a good example, you put the headphones on, this whole time you didn't hear nothing until you heard something. Mm-hmm. Instantly, I became like, well, damn, that tells me Rejoice is a pretty go with the flow, cool type chick. You know, because you could have hey, I don't hear shit. Mm-hmm. Hey, this fucked up. You could have did that too. Every right to do that.
What I'm saying is, the art of seduction,
there it goes,
is a real thing.
Yeah.
And y'all have it.
Yeah.
Why not use it?
Seduction ain't fucking. I think y'all think seduction either belittles y'all and it doesn't because, hell, just walking in the room with the eyes will seduce a nigga.
You ain't got to be fucking. Yeah, I don't tell the women, you can get what you want without fucking. They're men.
What's the religious girl, the lady name that had the dress on, the white dress? And she didn't show no body parts. It was just curvy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember. But
yeah,
But what I'm saying is, you ain't got to be fucking.
Yeah.
Y'all don't have to fuck to seduce and give him what he already wants.
Seduce and scheme.
The conversation.
I don't like the scheme part.
But again, y'all get caught up on words. Call it what you want to call it. As long as you use that personality. Like, and get a win.
Get a win.
All right, ladies, we'll have our new VC. But we don't need VC. Since we were lacking 1% fearless fun, all that stuff.
Who was a part of that fearless fun? And they were going around doing interviews, and I heard, like, they were easy on the eyes. Like, you can get money that way.
That's where I want to move my grade to.
I'm just going to start doing y'all fundraisers at pool parties.
Or cigar lounges.
Yeah. Nah, fuck cigar lounges. Because that's our spot where we really want to just kick it. Yeah. But, like, literally.
Like a pool party. Throw your
pool parties and invite people with money and talk about your business.
And then have your friends. Have your friends that don't mind being in bikinis that's already doing.
Have your
shit.
Friends that don't mind fucking.
Cause they already fucking broke niggas.
This is why I'm okay with this conversation. Because if the economy of the vagina has lowered its stock,
definitely has.
This is the way that you up it by saying, hey, this is a scarce resource, make it more scarce. And I'm only exchanging it for something that, like, has alternative uses. So you want, like, something that...
Test it out. Go ahead. Put your... put a profile up on Mega Personal or List Crawler. But put on there and say...
those are the two? Make It Personal and...
Mega Personal, List Crawler, and List Crawler.
Okay.
Put a profile on there, but in the chat say, no sex, great companion.
Okay, $200
an hour.
I think that's cheap.
$500. Well, for those websites, you know, you gotta get what you can get.
But no, what's so funny is Corey Holcomb got this joke.
There are more high profile profiles out there. Mm-hmm. And also, don't sleep on the sleeper of all sites, Twitter.
What should I put on my Twitter?
Accepting bookings in Atlanta.
Or accepting coffee dates.
No.
Buy me coffee say here. Accept. I've heard that.
Damn,
I've heard about that.
Damn, that no, that's a good one. Nah. There's a bunch of stuff when I'm buying the coffee links.
Yes. At,
again.
Yeah, niggas will buy them coffee.
Y'all don't be searching. Accepting bookings.
He yeah, knows.
But that's in the bio though. That's at the top. That's
accepting the bookings in Atlanta.
Well, we know one person.
And then price your menu. Put your menu.
I know we know one shot in particular when she'll just do like a random just I'm just sipping water post, you know, in a tight
oh no, top. Fuck it, I'll say it. You need to follow Don. Don is somebody. No, fuck it, I'll say it. Don is somebody who has mastered the art of seduction without
come on,
fucking.
You need to teach. Without we can fucking. Have a class. We can have a class at like really like at Rice.
Don has an OnlyFans. She has an OnlyFans that shows literally she shows everything you show on your Instagram. Is she getting paid?
That's what I'm saying. Don, can we have her? Because I think it's the Don's that's going to help us to raise money for the companies that we need, for real. I'm serious. I really think
you
we should
you already
just,
doing it on your Instagram.
Yeah, you,
I'm not getting money for it.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean,
start
I'm not taking
it. And let me tell you what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen. We can test this tonight.
Let's test. I want to do the test crawler.
Put,
and I wanna...
If you put an OnlyFans link, say, y'all follow me. All these Negroes that's in your page.
Yeah.
Now, the issue is never customer attraction because OnlyFans is a local play. Okay. OnlyFans is what we call reachable porn. Like, we couldn't reach Miss Natural or
Pinky,
Jada Fire, Cherokee Diaz. We couldn't
Ivy Rivera.
That's why our women didn't care if we watched that. OnlyFans is that girl that was always fine in high school.
Right.
That need to pay her rent.
Right.
That you can DM.
It's reachable porn. So what's happening is if you post an OnlyFans link and you can put it at an outrageous out the door price of $49.99, $75 a month. Because one thing about OnlyFans, we can pay for it one time and cancel the subscription. Now,
I'm getting a whole class right now.
Okay. Your retention might not be high because you ain't showing nothing, but if you draw out the seduction right, people will stay. A good example of somebody who drawed out seduction right is the daughter on Bernie Mac when she dropped her OnlyFans.
Oh yeah, she went a long time to show them titties,
and she still ain't showing shit.
Yeah, she showed like a little bit of titty, but
she's showing it through the shirt.
Yeah,
she got nipples popping, but she ain't showing
no. She ain't showing no. Yeah.
She's dropping audio of her masturbating. She ain't doing nothing. But she getting paid.
And the thing is, niggas to be excited off of seeing a link.
So what I'm saying, your first money grab is the initial link. That's your first money grab.
Tell me what it should, like, give me what it should look like. Like
link in the bio.
Yeah. Yo, like put it in your stories. Do you twerk?
Yeah.
Twerk, I mean, but put the emoji face.
Like,
no, look, check this out. Put the emoji face over your everything. We just only need to see that we know the action, but we see nothing. Put the emoji face.
Uh-huh.
Put the emoji face over the whole body. Literally. Drop the link on there. They're going to click to see, especially be shirtless, like have your shoulders out so I feel like you naked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to the post.
That's a good one. You know the other good post too? That bubble bath. Like, you show me that you in the tub, but I don't get to see all of you. You know what I'm saying? I just get to see.
Yeah, the seduction.
Like, it really, works. It's just a bunch of seduction.
What you doing? You doing when they get on there, it's like, who's that girl that started OnlyFans that got mad because she only uploaded all her Instagram photos?
Was that Ruby Rose? Or
yeah, it was somebody. She dropped the OnlyFans and everybody
who was it? Yeah. But then she starts showing titties now.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
At first though.
But at first she did was just upload all her IG content and niggas was mad. Because you can't see nothing until you make that first purchase. That's why I say customer attraction is easy. Customer retention is the work. How much do you got your automation set up? I know who really do OnlyFans based off when I subscribe. Do I automatically get an instant message? Do I get that? Hey, are you up? Like, bitch, yeah, I know you're not talking to me for real.
You really got to think about the low-hanging fruit of, like, niggas who just, like, there's a whole swath of...
And you were popular in high school?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, nigga, you better pay.
What did Joe Budden say? Joe Budden said, these niggas, These niggas jacking off of IG pictures of Ruby Rose. Like, niggas are jacking off of IG, not showing no body parts. You mean to tell me I heard that I might be getting some type of OnlyFans content? And then you have a whole swath of, like, nerds who would just hear you talk geek shit.
You got those.
Like, just hear you talk geek shit, just, you know, didn't got to show nothing. You just, like, got some steam going, just seductive.
Another girl that's good is this white girl. She does pottery. And all she does is pottery, but she be looking at you with these seductive eyes, but she kind of like be forming the pottery like a dick.
That's a good one.
She's actually a really good potter, though. Like,
it was like the stretching
nigga.
And
she sells the shit.
It's like the nigga that be stretching the girls. Like, he be stretching them all seductively, but he's really good stretcher.
And she's on her page, she says, guys, I'm here because I need to pay for college. If you be nice, I'm making content. I'm being professional. I'm not doing meetups. I would love for you to be in this community. And she's giving them what they want.
That's crazy.
It's like, I'm just saying that to say seduction does not belittle you as a woman.
It don't belittle you as a woman. It doesn't.
Because y'all do it for the other
one, you're not going to make everybody happy. Let me just be clear. So there is going to be a population of people that try to judge you
for sure.
Doing it. Yeah. But what you do with the money, and if you make your shit pop,
nobody says anything to winners.
Who the fuck is talking to Kim Kardashian?
Yeah.
She's a fucking respected potential attorney.
Yeah.
Right now. Nobody even talk about Kim Kardashian shit no more. And she ain't became less of Kim Kardashian.
Really has.
It's really the truth. It's like it's the one truth that I hate hearing because I've worked so hard.
But that's the Kanye West effect too. He saved her.
Oh, but that's the reason why pretty women can do it. Because you're still fine enough that no matter what you do, a nigga gonna come and save you.
And that's the thing. You all, like, we always had that one homeboy that fell for her. Like, bro, nah, this ain't what you're supposed to love. He like, nah, bro, I'm straight.
some niggas is like whole shit. Like, some niggas is like a whole ass bitch. Yeah. That's their forte.
I
think Drake is that type of nigga. I think Drake like whole type girl.
Nah,
like,
Drake is a...
Like, that's why he run behind Stacey
Red.
I can get on a whole
conversation about Drake. I was just talking to somebody about why Drake... Honestly and truly, you know all the movies where people be flying back to the past to kill the baby because they know who the baby grow up to be?
Oh, I've seen that.
Like, that's who Drake is to women and me. Like, he's a monster. Like, Drake is so... He's literally, you know who Drake is? Drake is Zeus. Zeus was a god passing up god pussy, disguising as a human to fuck human pussy. Drake is Zeus. This nigga.
I'm mad you said it like that.
Bruh. Drake.
Disguising himself in different forms. I'm just a regular nigga.
Bruh.
He came as a horse. Drake is like all these different things.
But Drake. Oh, pregnant woman and thing. Yeah, let me give you $25,000. Drake probably hit that pussy. He brought her in the VIP, gave her $25,000. Drake probably hit that pregnant, but he that type of dude. Like we got a whole episode titled "When Would Drake Fuck Your Girl?"
Yeah,
because Drake signed an artist, flew her and her boyfriend out to Canada. The boyfriend all excited. Posting videos of him working out with Drake, my girl getting signed. Next thing you know, a day later, 2 days later, the nigga unfollows his girl, unfollowed Drake, and says, I'm fucking leaving her. Drake fucked my girl. And we all had a deep philosophical conversation on when would Drake be able to get our girl based off what we know about ourselves and our girl. Because one thing about it, Drake is getting her. That's how much of a monster he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I'm saying is Drake different.
I don't know.
Nigga, Chris Brown said it. The scariest line I ever heard in music for me.
What, nigga? He told the game when he
what did he say?
What? When a rich nigga wants you.
Oh, yeah.
And your nigga can't do nothing for you. D-hoes ain't loyal.
Hey, man. Any last words?
Your nigga can't do nothing for that's the crest.
I'm done.
That's the nail in the coffin. You try to get VC camp funding and you can't get funding. Nigga can't do nothing for you.
Yeah.
Last words.
Okay. Last words. Mm-hmm. Let's just say you and I were put on this like barren land. We're starting our own society.
Mm-hmm. Nut gonna be everywhere.
What? What? What did that say? What did it say?
Go.
Neck gonna be everywhere?
Just go.
Okay. Well, we're starting our own society. No rules, no sort of, and we're creating them. What are the three things that you're like, hey, our society must have these three things based on what you know now? Three characteristics, three moralities, three actual things. You can only choose three. The society depends on it.
Okay. Food is free.
Oh. Okay.
Can't pay for food.
Okay.
We grow it.
Sounds of equity of outcome, but okay.
Say what you want to say. Mm-hmm. No, it's the equity opportunity to eat.
Okay.
So, I would say food is free.
Okay.
This is hard.
It's okay if you only have one. Maybe that's a good starting place. Everyone just eat. That's fine.
Yeah, it is. Food is free,
mm-hmm.
Mandatory rites of passage for men.
Okay.
I don't know what it looks like.
Okay, but you know you got to have one.
I know I need to be considered a man. There's a process
okay.
to go through. And it's not necessarily that you can fail it. You just have to complete it.
Mm. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That's interesting.
Even
in what if they don't feel like a man? We won't get there. But go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, none of that shit. That's my third one.
But
that's my third one. Now we'll leave the third one for our next podcast. I'm definitely bringing you back.
Thank you so much. This has been
fun. Tell the people how they can follow you.
Please follow me at Jabez Jones, JABZ_Jones. The company Vower, if you need an intern or if you're looking for an internship, follow us at The Vower, Inc., TheVowerInc. And also, if you're interested in epigenetics, living longer, fasting, all the things, follow me at eat.light.love. I do not know if I'm going to have an OnlyFans, but to be continued.
This has been a podcast.
No, this has definitely been a podcast. This is what I'd be imagining when you tell them to come on here and just, hey,
it's your show.
It was your show.
Take notes, sister.
Yeah.
I like how she just had a notes and we just, we participated.
I like that.
Man, we say this every week, man. We love y'all. We need y'all. But most importantly, we can't wait to see y'all next week. Thank you for tuning in to the Jess Eldridge podcast featuring Eldridge and producer Keith. Ink. I gotta give a shout out to Ink.
Oh, yeah.
But the woman that wrote 16 Carriages in Texas Hold'em is singing this song right now. Quit playing with us.
She's such a great woman.
Tune in on the podcast, yeah. Real things, you know we gon' last, yeah. Kick it back, kick it back, kick it back.